It's time to go back to school with Professor Fish, Southern Colorado's only show dedicated to college athletics, University of Fish.
Oh, man, I think the clock is slow.
Class is now in session.
I don't feel tardy.
Here's the professor, Tim Fisher.
The college football playoff poll is out, the first one at least, and the biggest news, of course, is Alabama is not number one. Now, of course, this has Roll Tide Roll fans in an uproar going, we're the best team in the nation. Why are we not number one? Well, I'll tell you why. Because they have played nobody so far this season. Every game has been a blowout. You can say, oh, they played Florida State at the start of the season. Well, they played Florida State without DeAndre Francois. Even if you put DeAndre Francois on that team, I don't think they're any good this year because we've seen that they've just fallen apart. BC housing them a couple weeks ago on a Friday night. That was a beautiful thing to see. Hey, if you didn't know, I'm the professor. You're listening to University of Fish right here on Extra Sports 13. And let me tell you what we got going on this week. So far, we have Oklahoma State, Bedlam is going to be a great game in Stillwater later this afternoon, and you can hear it right here on Extra Sports 1300. We'll be talking about it. Army and Air Force, the second leg of the Commander-in-Chief Trophy. Air Force having to get a win to hope to get the trophy back because they've already lost to Navy this year. We know that. So that's a big game. We'll be talking to Jim Arthur, who you'll hear on KVOR later today. Kickoff 1:30 on our sister station, KVOR. He'll be calling the game. We'll talk to him about that. We'll also travel out to Raleigh, North Carolina, when Clemson and North Carolina State, they're getting ready to play. And then we also have the biggest game in the ACC, that being Miami and Virginia Tech. We'll be talking to Danny Noakes from Super Sports 101.7 in Blacksburg, Virginia. He's in Miami for the game, so we'll talk to him. It's going to be a jam-packed show, but let's get back to the college football playoff rankings. Of course, Georgia number one, Alabama two. I've got no problem with the positioning of those two teams. Alabama, yeah, they're good. How good are they? We'll find out in the next few weeks. Not when they play Mercer. We'll have to see how they do against LSU later today. They're prime time tonight. CBS loves having that game in prime time because they get the viewership. I don't know why the whole country is so enamored with SEC matchups. They're really not that good. They're really not. But it is the primetime game this week, so enjoy that. It should be a good game. I think LSU is going to keep it closer than the line. 21 points. That's way too many points for Alabama to be given up. But they do have that extra chip on their shoulder since they're not in the number one spot in the first college football playoff poll. Coming in at number three, Notre Dame. Are you buying into that? I'm not really buying into it yet because, yeah, they beat up USC. We've seen how hot and cold Sam Darnold runs all year long. And the thing is, his hot water heater, a whole lot smaller. And so that runs out quick, and so there's been a lot of cold by Sam Darnold and the USC Trojans. Clay Helton, not ready to be a Division I Power 5 coach, and T. Martin has no business running a Power 5 offense. We've seen that so far this year with USC. Coming in at number four, your defending champions, Clemson Tigers. Should they be sitting at number four? Yeah, they have that loss to Syracuse. And yes, Kelly Bryant went out with the concussion early in the game, had to have his backup come finish the game, and they lost by a field goal. Yeah, there was a missed field goal by Clemson. It would have tied it up, would have had overtime. But in the Orange Dome that night, Clemson was going to lose to the Syracuse Orange. Coming at number five, Oklahoma. You know, I'm happy that they're up there. And obviously, the college football playoff committee is showing that head-to-head does actually mean something because Ohio State is sitting at number six. Everybody's going, but they just beat Penn State this past week, had that great comeback after Penn State's up by a couple scores. But they also lost to Oklahoma at Ohio State. So the committee showing that head-to-head means something. Then you got TCU. Wait, there's still two undefeated teams, well, Power 5 undefeated teams that I haven't even mentioned yet. Wisconsin comes in at number 9. Miami comes in at number 10. Why are they there? Because they haven't played anybody. Wisconsin has just had close games every week, and they haven't played anybody. They have the soft side of the Big Ten schedule. We'll have to see what happens when they play Michigan. Michigan not playing that well this year, though. And then we'll have to see how they do in the Big Ten Championship. If they win out and win the Big Ten Championship, they'll have a shot at getting in the playoff. Miami has to run the table, has to beat Virginia Tech today. That's going to be a tall order. And like I said, we'll be talking to Danny Noakes in just a little bit about that game. And then you have to beat Notre Dame. If Miami can beat Virginia Tech and Notre Dame and then go and beat Clemson in the ACC Championship, yeah, you deserve to be up there. But you know what? We're going to start it off right now. We're joined now by Jim Arthur, the voice of the Air Force Falcons. You hear him all the time on our sister station, 740 KVOR. They're getting ready for the second leg of the Commander-in-Chief Trophy taken on the Army Black Knights. Jim, you ready for today?
Well, I think so, Tim. It's always a fun game when it's a Service Academy game. Nice to be back home because the Falcons have been on the road, so this should be a good contest.
It started off the season for Air Force looking like it was going to be a rough season, but the past few weeks, things have kind of turned around.
I think if you look at the year, and you could see this right away, you knew that the front part of the schedule was loaded with real good teams. Michigan, obviously, San Diego State, you had Navy in there. And then you looked at the back end of the schedule, and you saw teams that you've had success against in the past, and you had teams that maybe lost a few more people from a season ago. So I think it's kind of playing out the way everybody thought it was. And then the other component, Tim, is Air Force, I was going to say, is a young football team. They still are, but they were really younger back in September. And even Troy Calhoun said that he felt they'd play their better football in the back half of the season. And that's what they've done the last 3 weeks.
They really have. I know last week against Colorado State surprised a lot of people outside of the academy. The people inside the academy weren't surprised, but Colorado State was talking about, what if the fans leave early? They probably did because of the Air Force score rather than the Colorado State score. It was a great week, but this week, a brand new week, like you said, Army coming in, it's a service academy. Don't expect a lot of airplay in this game. It's going to be a ground and pound game, isn't it?
Well, Army is second in the nation in rushing. Air Force is third in the nation. So that's what you do, and that's what's brought you to this point. So you will see that. Both teams run the option, but they run varieties of the option. You'll see Army run it more out of the shotgun. You'll see Air Force do some of that as well. Maybe a little less triple option from Air Force, maybe just quarterback, tailback play. The fullbacks have been very good for Air Force, and for Army, they're really really good. They're like Air Force. They have two fullbacks, so they can always keep fresh legs in the game. But I'll tell you what, I think the pass will come into play at some point today. It did last week for Air Force when they threw it to Ryan Riffitt and that big touchdown pass that really kind of widened the lead and put the game away for the Falcons. And I think that you'll see that again because you want both defenses to kind of cheat and play option and play run and kind of creep up on the line and creep up on the line and then bang, run play action and see if you can burn somebody deep.
Well, on Air Force, you've got, of course, Arian Werthmann, who's both the leading rusher and obviously as quarterback, the leading passer. Same thing for Army when you're talking about Ahmad Bradshaw. Although he averages only just a little over 20 yards a game passing, he's got 867 yards on the ground this year. And like you said, they've got some fullbacks as well. What does the Air Force defense have to do to shut down Bradshaw in that running attack?
Well, it'll be interesting because teams have been able to run on Air Force a little bit. And the Falcons have done a better job in second halves of games this year. So it'll be curious for me anyway to see what they do in the first half against Army. I think you really have to be disciplined, obviously, because Army with Bradshaw or handing it off to Darnell Woolfolk or Davidson, the other fullback, or they could get it out to Walker, one of the slot backs. There's a lot of different ways they can go, and you really have to be responsible. You can't do more than what the assignment says if you're an Air Force defender. If it says take the quarterback, you can't cheat, because if you start leaning toward the pitch man a little bit, Bradshaw's going to go 70 yards on you. So I think you really got to play your responsibility. And these teams know each other so well, it comes down to execution at this point, because you're not really going to fool the other team with the knowledge and the familiarity that they have of each other.
You're right, because a lot of times you see teams, they go, okay, they have to gear up for 1 week of taking on the option. These two teams see it every day in practice. It's going to be a great game. Kickoff at 1:30. Pregame starts on our sister station, 740 KVOR at 11:30. Jim, thanks for joining us this morning.
Thanks, Tim.
Now, that covers us locally. When we come back, we're going to look at the nation. We're going to be talking with Danny Noakes, Super Sports 101.7 in Blacksburg, Virginia, as the Hokies get ready to take on number 10 Miami Hurricane. That's coming up after the break. You're listening to University of Fish. I am the professor right here on Extra Sports 1300.
Everyone, back in your seats. University of Fish is back in session.
We're joined now by Danny Noakes from Super Sports 101.7 in Blacksburg, Virginia. Danny, how you doing today?
I'm doing good, Tim, and so are the rest of the Kite folks here in Southwest Virginia. Just jacked up for another primetime game here coming up with the Canes in Miami on Saturday.
It is a big game. It's going to go a long way to deciding that side's representative in the ACC championship, and I honestly think Virginia Tech could take this game. How is the people in Blacksburg thinking about this game?
They feel the exact same way that you do, Tim, and so do I, as a matter of fact. I think that Virginia Tech definitely comes into this game with an advantage. No, they're not undefeated, but at the same time, I think they are a better football team than Miami, and it starts with Virginia Tech's defense. Not to mention the Canes are going to be without their best offensive player in Mark Walton, who was lost to an ankle injury for the season. So the Canes do have home field advantage, but Hard Rock Stadium isn't exactly one of the toughest places to play in the country. So I do like Virginia Tech to go down there and steal this one this weekend.
Well, if there were three keys that Virginia Tech had to do on offense against this Canes defense, what would those be?
Well, the first I would say, and this is probably what you could say for any team going into any game, is to win the turnover battle, right? Avoid takeaways. That turnover chain that you see on the highlights on SportsCenter there that the Canes have been using this season, Virginia Tech wants to avoid seeing that at all costs on Saturday night. So avoid turnovers. Don't let the Canes bring that turnover chain out. The other thing I would say is run the football, and that, of course, starts up front with the offensive line. You know, they haven't exactly been performing particularly well over the last couple of weeks, despite convincing wins over North Carolina and Duke. So I would say that they got to get a strong push up front, get ready to run the ball, and that would be key number two. Final thing is just kind of relax and try not to let this stage, you know, become too big for you. And I don't think that it will, because the Hokies, of course, earlier this season, and we talked a couple of days leading up to it, Tim, battled the Clemson Tigers in Lane Stadium in what was College Game Day's return to Blacksburg in the first time in over 10 years. So I don't think it's going to overwhelm them at all, but again, you just got to kind of keep those emotions in check.
Now, when it comes to the defensive side of the ball against that Kane offense, how are they going to stop Miami? Or is that going to be a problem, because Miami hasn't been real overwhelming on offense?
Well, so this is where I think Virginia Tech can win the football game, and it's because although the Canes have a good defense, I think Virginia Tech's defense is even that much better, and Miami's offense is also probably not quite at where Virginia Tech's is. And I don't even care if you're looking at the stats, because Malik Rozier, who's the junior quarterback there for the Canes, has been dealing with a shoulder injury over the last couple of weeks. And Miami, you know, coming down to the wire, I think over the last four games, they've won their last four contests by 18 points. You know, those aren't exactly against teams that are setting the world on fire this year. Florida State's not very good. Syracuse, yeah, sure, they're getting better, but they're not very good either. So I would say that, you know, Virginia Tech's defense, what they got to do, get after the quarterback. 8 sacks is what they had against Miami a season ago. If they can repeat a performance like that, they're in for a good night.
Now, if you use a transitive property in football, which you really can't do, but you look at what Miami struggling with North Carolina last week, and then what you guys did 2 games ago to North Carolina, it looks like it wouldn't be a game, but you can't do that, because each Saturday it's a different lineup. I mean, it's a different set of circumstances. And so I know there's a lot of people out there that are cheering for the Hokies this weekend, because what happens is you start going to see utter chaos in the college football playoff poll, because let's say Virginia Tech beats Miami, then Miami steps up and beats Notre Dame next week. That knocks both of them out.
It could be. It could really set things into a complete frenzy, couldn't it? I mean, this whole weekend, too, not just looking at the Virginia Tech-Miami game, but you've got Clemson and NC State playing on the other side of the ACC. Oklahoma and Oklahoma State has college football playoff implications as well. So this weekend, by the time that we wake up on Sunday and are ready for the National Football League, we're going to have an even better idea of where that college football playoff is going to be this year. But, yeah, like you said, man, I mean, if Virginia Tech, and I do expect them to win on Saturday, takes down the Canes and then Miami goes and finds a way to beat Miami, you're right. It could just kind of just throw things, like I said, into a frenzy that you just never really know on a week-to-week basis what could happen.
Well, Danny Noakes, you must be a radio guy because you just teased the rest of my show, because coming up next, we're going to be talking with Eric Boynton about that Clemson-North Carolina State game. And then after that, we'll be talking to Brooke Pryor about Oklahoma State. Danny Noakes with Super Sports 101.7 in Blacksburg. Thanks for joining us today.
I hope I didn't spoil too much, Tim. Thanks for the time, man.
That was a perfect tease. That's why you're a radio guy. We're now joined by Joe Giglio of the Raleigh. I want to make sure I get the paper right. Raleigh News and Observer. Big game in the ACC this week. NC State fresh off that tough loss to Notre Dame this past week, but now they are playing host to the Clemson Tigers. Joe, how you doing this morning?
Well, I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, it's our pleasure. Welcome into the University of Fish. Right now you're a student. You might end up being an adjunct by the end of the season, depending on how NC State plays. So when we come into this game, Kelly Bryant for Clemson, almost back to full health. The ankle still a little bit gimpy. You've seen that a little bit this past week. But what does NC State have to do on defense to stop this Clemson offense?
Yeah, you mentioned Kelly Bryant, and I think he's actually Clemson's best running back. Obviously, he's their quarterback, but when he gets going in the running game, I think that makes that offense that much more dangerous. They like to take some chances downfield with Deion Kane, but, since Deshaun Watson moved on to the NFL, you really see Clemson as more of a running team. They're averaging 50 more rushing yards per game this year. And the way NC State defended the run against Notre Dame, that could be a problem. NC State gave up 318 rushing yards to the Fighting Irish. And I think they'll see a lot of that read option. That Clemson doesn't have Josh Adams, but I do think they have some capable backs in Tavion Feaster and Travis Etienne.
Now, when it comes to defending the pass, we have seen Kelly Bryant been able to go downfield pretty well. How will the NC State defensive backs match up against those Clemson receivers?
Yeah, it's not NC State's strength. Their defensive front is really good. Obviously, Bradley Chubb is an All-American candidate at defensive end. But their safeties are not experienced, and their corners, they've kind of been prone to some big plays this year. They're not the most experienced group either. So they do have one corner, Mike Stevens, who has the claim to fame as the only player in college football history with a pick six on Deshaun Watson. So that was last year in last year's game at Clemson. So he might have a little bit of confidence going into this one. But in general, NC State secondary is not the strength of the team.
Well, now, when we think of NC State Clemson, this is usually the game where we see Clemson Clemsoning themselves. But that's usually when NC State's not as good as they are this year. Because when you look at NC State on offense, Finley's having a pretty good season there at quarterback, and then you've got Hines at running back. What does the Wolfpack have to do on offense against what is pretty much a stout Clemson defense?
Yeah, I think Clemson's the best defense in the country, and I'm sure someone from Alabama would argue with that, but they're really good up front, and their linebackers, I think, this year have been fantastic. The problem for NC State was Nyheim Hines turned his ankle in the first quarter of the Notre Dame game. He's their leading rusher. He only had two carries for 6 yards against Notre Dame. They really missed him in the last three quarters of that game. And he's going to play on Saturday, but they're going to need him for somehow to make this really good recovery and be able to break off some plays, because he's a speed back. He's a home run hitter. And when you take that element out of NC State's offense, as we saw against Notre Dame, the opposition is able to push up on their receivers, they're able to push up on the line, and really kind of force NC State into the kind of game that they don't want to play. And when you have Ryan Finley at quarterback, he's good at taking what the defense gives him. but he's not great at making plays in those type of, you know, pushed up pressure situations from the defense.
Now, the winner of this game later in Carter-Finley Stadium will pretty much almost clinch the Atlantic Division. Who do you see coming out of the other side of the ACC?
Yeah, it's Virginia Tech and Miami on Saturday night. I like Miami. I think they're kind of a charm team. They've won some close games. Obviously, they haven't impressed many people because, you know, most recently they were up here and they struggled with North Carolina, who's having a down season. But they have a really good defense, and like I said, they feel like they're one of those kind of blessed teams right now. I think Miami comes out of that other side of the division. And, I think SC State will play really well against Clemson, but I think Clemson is the better team. And Clemson last year, if you remember, they lost to Pitt. And that kind of refocused them and got them back in a groove. And I think that early loss to Syracuse probably will do the same thing for the Tigers this year. So I suspect it'll be Clemson and Miami and Charlotte on December 2nd.
Well, Joe Giglio of the Raleigh News and Observer, thanks for joining the university today. We look forward to talking to you later in the season.
Thank you.
Now, when we get back after the break, we are talking Bedlam, Oklahoma, Oklahoma State. Brooke Pryor from the Oklahoman in Oklahoma City will be joining us right after the break, right here on Extra Sports 1300. You're listening to University of Fish, and I am the professor.
Everyone, back in your seats. Professor Fish is giving a lecture.
We're now joined by Brooke Pryor, who writes for the Oklahoman in Oklahoma City. She covers the University of Oklahoma, so you know I already like her. Brooke, how you doing this morning?
Oh, not too bad. Just getting ready to head up to Stillwater tomorrow, actually.
And it is going to be a crazy day in Stillwater. I know people are upset that this game is not later in the season. I think the Big 12 did a good thing by putting it earlier in the season, so it's not a back-to-back week against the Cowboys for the Sooners, because every year in and year out, those are two of the top teams in the Big 12, and so it'd be a shame to see them play 2 weeks in a row, even though I know Sooner fans would love that with the record they have against the Cowboys. But let's not talk about that. Let's talk about this game. When you look at the Oklahoma State Cowboys, yeah, you've got Mason Rudolph, you've got Washington, you've got everybody else that they have offensively, but what's it going to take defensively for the Cowboys to hang with the Sooner offense?
You know, I think that for OSU to shut down OU, they have to focus in on the running back. You know, Baker Mayfield's going to do what he does every week, and whether that's, you know, get him through the air or he pulls the ball down and he runs, he's done that more often this season as seasons progress. It's really hard to stop Baker. So to make OU one-dimensional, you have to take away that run game. And that's something that's been clicking along really well recently with that three running back rotation of Rodney Anderson, Trey Sermon, Abdul Adams. All three of those guys have over 400 rushing yards. And they have, you know, kind of something for every occasion there in that group. And to really hobble OU's offense, you have to take that away, make Mayfield run, make Mayfield have to connect with some of those receivers that, you know, he doesn't have a D.D. Westbrook this year. He doesn't have that home run guy. He has a lot of really good guys, but he doesn't have that one guy in particular. And so I think that's what you want to make OU do if you're OSU.
If I were Lincoln Riley, which I'm older than him, so I can't be Lincoln Riley, but if I were Lincoln Riley, I would get Jeffrey Meade and Jeff Badetic more involved in the passing game, because both of those have burner speed, not the speed that Marquise Brown has, because we've seen that. And then Baker's got to be able to find Andrews just like he has all year long. I mean, you look at Andrews, and he's one of the best tight ends that Oklahoma's had in quite some time, and they do have a long list of great tight ends going back to Keith Jackson in the mid-80s. And then you got, you know, of course, everybody else you've had since then with the year of Alexanders, with with everybody. The tight end has been a fixture in the Oklahoma offense, and so I think that Baker has to use him as more of an outlet like he has been doing. But like you said, Abdul Adams, Trey Sermon, and Rodney Anderson are peaking right now, especially with Adams back in the rotation after getting hurt in the Iowa State game. Now let's flip the field, and this is where it gets scary for Oklahoma, is when they're on defense. Now, we saw the three straight scoring drives to open the game by Texas Tech. Mike Stoops, who everybody in OU fan base calling for his head week in and week out, everybody saying the wrong Stoops left, made some great adjustments there in the second quarter and then limited Texas Tech to only 7 points. But we know this Oklahoma State offense, a bit more talented than Texas Tech. What does Oklahoma have to do on defense?
Yeah, I think the biggest key in this situation on defense is to get pressure on Rudolph, get pressure up front. And the two guys that are going to be the biggest keys there are Obo Okoronkwo, that defensive end linebacker hybrid, and then DJ Ward, who's a defensive lineman, who's someone that has really flourished in that four-man front. It fits his skills. It fits his body. It fits what he is able to do. And you saw last week when they went to that four-man front, DJ Ward was a lot more effective. Sacked Nick Szymanek. OU's defense just started playing a lot better. And so I think for OU, you know, you're going to want to drop some guys back in coverage. But I don't think that starting out that way is necessarily the best plan. I think we saw how well that four-man front worked a week ago. And I think that's what they need to come back out in again. And if they start getting burned deep, then you make some adjustments. But you don't want to let Oklahoma State get off to a fast start the same way that Texas Tech did. And you want to really limit their chances early and give your own team some momentum so you're not trying to play catch-up in Stillwater.
Now, when you're talking about getting burnt down deep, that comes a lot. You know, you're looking at Jordan Thomas, who has been a favorite target for every quarterback they have faced this year, going after Jordan Thomas. Is Thomas, does he have to play a better game? Because he'll be on Washington most of the game. Does he have to play a better game for Oklahoma to win?
Yeah, I think so. And I think for Jordan Thomas, it's a really tough thing to think about, that he is kind of the weak link there in that secondary. As a guy who's been there for 4 years, he's shown flashes of talent sometimes, but he tends to try to go for the home run ball too often. He tries to make that interception, and he jumps routes. He kind of hedges up. He'll slack off guys a little bit. And then he doesn't have the speed to turn around and get back in position and really guard the ball. And guard these guys. So I think that for him, the biggest battle here is a mental battle, and he's got to calm himself down. And you wouldn't expect to hear that about a senior, a guy that's been there, that understands these games, understands how to play, but too often he tries to go for that highlight reel play when he just needs to be playing sound defense.
Now, Brooke Pryor, we know we've got some big games coming up for the University of Oklahoma here in the next few weeks as they try to do their championship November march through the schedule, the tough part of their schedule if you take out Ohio State at the beginning of the year. So, Brooke, we look forward to talking to you again here on the University of Fish. Enjoy Bedlam and eat some cheese fries for me.
I can certainly do that. Thanks so much for having me on.
All right, it's that time of the week again. It's time for Fish's Picks. And this week we're joined by someone you've heard a few times here on the show, Mark Moses with 1560 The Fan in Melbourne, Florida, the beautiful space coast of Florida. Mark, how you doing this morning?
Hey, Mr. Professor. Thanks for having me on again.
It was a joy being on your show earlier this week, talking a little college football. This week, we're going to see how much you know about college football. Now, I want to remind everybody, these are for entertainment purposes only. Do not come yelling at me when your wife's mad at you for losing. I have to deal with that myself. So, Mark, keep that in mind as well, okay?
Okay, I will, man.
We're going to start off with our local teams just like we always do. Colorado, the Buffs, going to Arizona State. Colorado, the Buffs, in Tempe. How do you see this one?
See, this is the problem. This has got to be a trap game for Buffalo. I could see Arizona State putting points on the board and winning this game. I know you were sending me some of these lines like 4.5. I think Arizona wins outright. I think they get it done. What about you, man?
Well, you know, the Buffs have been playing hot and cold all year long. I think that McIntyre is going to have him up because the Pac-12 South is still wide open right now, so they still have a chance at a Pac-12 South title to be able to face probably Washington, it's looking like, in the Pac-12 championship. I'm going to take the Buffs straight up against Arizona State. And if I'm taking them straight up, that means I'm also taking them with the points because Arizona State's favored in this game. And now a Colorado team that is favored. We got two of them this week. Colorado State heading up to Wyoming to take on Josh Allen, who some people say could be the first pick in the draft. I don't see it because he has been horrible against any good competition he's seen this year. The Rams or the Cowboys?
I'm going to go with the Rams. I can't, here's the key, I can't come on your show and then go anti-Colorado and Colorado State. I'll have no friends when I come visit you someday. You know that, right? So I got to go with the Rams in this one.
The Rams coming off the loss to Air Force last week, and Colorado State thought, you know, hey, we're worried about having our fans in the stands at the end of the game because we're going to blow out Air Force. The tables were turned, and Air Force blew out Colorado State. Colorado State rebounds this week, shuts down Josh Allen. They couldn't shut down the run of Air Force. I think they can shut down the passing game of Wyoming. The Rams will win. And then we have the biggest game for Colorado this week, and that would be the Army, the Black Knights, coming in to Falcon Stadium to take on the Air Force Falcons. Hall of Fame coach Fisher DeBerry will be in the house for Air Force. He's not coaching, even though he could probably run that offense just as well as Troy Calhoun is doing. The Black Knights or the Falcons?
I got to go with the Falcons. Three-game winning streak right now. They've played tough. Hey, big win against Colorado State, Nevada the last couple weeks. I'm not sold on Army. I still think of all the military schools, Navy's the best one. But it looks like Arizona might go for four in a row. I'm going to take them. And I know that game's going to be on CBS Sports Network. I'm going to go with the Air Force.
You're taking the Falcons. Now, I heard the best joke earlier this week. The reason that the Army football team doesn't have a website is because they can't string together three W's.
But
they do have four in a row. Air Force is on a three-game winning streak. Air Force coming off the big win, like I just said, about against Colorado State. Still an outside chance of retaining the Commander-in-Chief trophy. Take the Falcons at home over the Black Knights. Now, I've got something interesting to talk to you about during picking this next game. Arizona at Southern Cal. You've got Rich Rod, who runs that kind of a fun-and-gun offense, which would fit really nicely at Florida. We'll talk about that in a second. But the Wildcats sitting at 6-2 against a USC team that was quite honestly humbled against Notre Dame just a couple weeks ago. USC is the favorite, but do you like the Wildcats over them?
Here's the thing. You're talking about USC. Look, they lose 41-14 or so. I apologize, 49-14 to Notre Dame. Then they come back. They beat Arizona State, putting up 48 points, winning 48-17. They are just back and forth, back and forth. I think Arizona can get them. I agree with you. I know USC's 7-2, but I think the Wildcats can get this upset on the road. And I'm not sold on Sam Darnold. I'm not sold on him under center right now. Too many turnovers. I like Arizona in the upset.
Well, Darnold is thinking too much about his NFL career because he's already talking about how he's going to stay in school if the Browns have the first pick. I don't know, was he going to be a 14-year senior? Because the Browns are going to keep continuing having that first pick year in and year out. But the Wildcats will go into the L.A. Coliseum and beat the USC Trojans. Another Pac-12 game. Which is Pac-12 happy this week, but they are ranked versus ranked. Stanford, Bryce Love taking it on the road to Washington State, who barely hanging on to a ranking right now. Washington State favored at the Palouse, but does Bryce Love run up enough on the Cougars to win the game?
This is a toss-up game. I think it'd go either way. Like, Washington State looks like a firepower. You know, it's like they're going to score all these points. And then other weeks they don't. Like, I don't know. This is a toss-up game, and that kind of just shows you the Pac-12 right now. I don't know if there is a great team in this conference. And when we saw the polls with the 14 playoff, the selection committee agreed with me on this one. I think it's a toss-up. I'm going to go Washington State just because they're at home. That's what I'm going to go with.
I think that Mike Leach is still packing his bags because someone's going to be asking for him to come somewhere in the South, whether it be Tennessee, whether it be Florida, whether it be Mississippi, because all three of those jobs are going to be open at the end of the year. We already know Florida already is, and I think Mike Leach wants to get to where he can get some athletes with that offense. So I think he is distracted. Luke Falk has been playing really poorly the past few weeks. Bryce Love, back and healthy, will run all over that Washington State defense, take the Stanford Cardinal. Mark, you're a radio guy. You understand we got to take a break. But when we come back, we're going to finish up Fish's Picks right here on the University of Fish. You're listening to Extra Sports 1300.
Let's take a step out on the quad. Professor Fish is giving a lecture.
We're back with Mark Moses from 1560 The Fan in Melbourne, Florida on the Great Space Coast. It makes me want to say the Great Space Coaster, but Mark, let's get back into those picks. Now, Penn State, they're still kind of reeling after that loss to Ohio State last week in primetime. They get to go to East Lansing. D'Antoni and the Sparties hosting the Penn State Nittany Lions. Franklin and his boys or D'Antoni and his boys?
Look, D'Antoni and his boys, talking about Michigan State, went to Evanston and lost in triple overtime to Northwestern. I watched that game. That was a hard, grinding game. Michigan State had no business losing that. Now, like you said, they're going to take on Penn State. I think Penn State's going to win this game big. They have to make a statement that they're still around for the playoff. I'm taking Penn State, and I think Barkley's going to have a big day.
I was talking to a good friend of the show, Matt Martell. You've heard him many times before, a Penn State writer with a state collegian. He's a student, good writer, though. He is on his way to East Lansing right now, and he's going Penn State. He wrote an article this week saying that it's in the stars for Penn State to win the national championship. Don't think that'll happen, but they do still have a chance of winning the Big Ten East and facing Wisconsin in the Big Ten championship game. Take Penn State on the road. Now, we're going to find out a little bit more about Clemson and Kelly Bryant's health as they take on a pretty good defense at NC State, which was kind of exposed against the run, but they do play good pass defense as well there in Raleigh. So you've got Clemson, the Tigers, going to take on the Wolfpack in North Carolina. How do you like it?
All right, here's the thing, Professor. This is a big game for the ACC. They need Clemson to win. They need the Tigers to win. You're talking about the quarterback play. They got to get better production from that, and, you know, maybe your starter's coming back. This is going to be a big key for Clemson and the ACC. They've got to get this victory. If NC State bounces back and gets the W, then you have complete chaos for that conference. For the ACC with John Swofford, they got to get this W. I think Clemson wins a close one by about 4 or 5 points. That's what my pick is.
And Clemson needs this win, like you were saying, for the strength of the ACC. I think NC State winning would show a little bit more strength in the ACC or more parity. And so I don't know if that would help, because when we talk in the biggest game in the ACC, and it's just a couple of minutes, but Clemson will go on the road, get things done. Kelly Bryant is back healthy. The Tigers will win. Dabo will keep them winning. Now, interesting fact about this next game. We're talking about Bedlam, Oklahoma, at Oklahoma State. Just talked to Brooke Pryor with the Daily Oklahoman just a few minutes ago, and you heard her breakdown of the game. There have been more Oklahoma State has been shut out more times by Oklahoma than they have wins against Oklahoma. So just an interesting little sidebar for you. But the Sooners go into Stillwater at T. Boone Pickens Stadium, the Oil Magnet Stadium. Cowboys or Sooners? And tread lightly here.
What's interesting with this game is, why is it not played like Black Friday or Saturday? That's a bigger problem I have with college football. This is the biggest game of the year in the state. It's bragging rights. 2.5-point spread. I like Oklahoma State in the upset. I think they're going to get the overrated Oklahoma Sooners in this game. I think the Pokes get it done. I like their wide receivers. I like their quarterback. I think the Pokes in the upset. Give me Oklahoma State.
Well, Mark Moses with 1560, The Fan in Melbourne, Florida. I hope you've enjoyed the appearances you've had on my show, because this will be the last one, because I am an Oklahoma alum. So you got, like I told you, you need to tread lightly on this game.
Uh-huh.
But The 2.5 points, we're not talking spread. We're talking straight up. When it comes down, and first of all, I'll answer your question, why isn't this played on Black Friday or that weekend? Because the Big 12 did not want, knowing that Oklahoma and Oklahoma State are two of the powers in the Big 12, did not want them playing back-to-back weeks if they both made it to the Big 12 championship. So they scheduled it earlier in the season so you wouldn't have that back-to-back matchup. That's why Oklahoma ends the year with Kansas, because no worries about Kansas making the Big 12 championship game. And you'll see that TCU and Oklahoma State also have teams that they should beat that last weekend, so you don't have the back-to-back matchups that you might have if you have all those games there at the end of the year. That being said, I cannot go against any team that has Baker Mayfield at quarterback, because that young man, people might hate him. He's a very polarizing player, but he gets the job done. He brings that team back from defeat. I told you on your show earlier this week that of all the Heisman candidates, if you take them off their team, they're still pretty good teams. Oklahoma's not even ranked if Baker Mayfield's not on that team. I think the defense made some adjustments after the first quarter against Texas Tech last week, where they gave up three scores, just back to back to back, only gave up 7 points the rest of the game. And if you know Texas Tech, you know they have an offense. Oklahoma will get enough done. It's going to be a high-scoring affair, but the Sooners will win Bedlam on their championship November, March, trying to get to the Big 12 championship. But they got TCU next week, so it's going to be a tough road to hoe, but take the Sooners.
I love that I fired you up on your own show. I love it so much that you're now angry. And you know what, buddy? I just want you to know this. I think it's stupid. They should play Black Friday or Saturday after Thanksgiving, because honestly, I know that the Sooners and the Pokes will be playing football for the next 100 years, and who knows what the future of the Big 12 is. That's just my opinion. All right, what's the next game, man?
Next game, this one, ESPN thinks it's going to be played in Death Valley. It's not. That was a very bad typo on someone's part that actually gets paid to do that at ESPN. LSU in T-Town at Tuscaloosa to take on Alabama. I love saying this, the number two team in the nation. So much, so nice not to say the number one team in the nation when you're talking Alabama. If you look at the line, Alabama's favored by 21. And if you look at the series of this, Alabama has only won in a blowout like two or three times in the past 15 years. I don't think it's going to be that big. But does the Tigers, with Coach Ed Orgeron, horrible pick for him as a head coach, but do they have enough with Geis to come in to Tuscaloosa and beat Saban and Alabama?
Here's the thing. This is always a physical game in the SEC, my bread and butter. It's always close. These two fan bases do not like each other, but it's going to be Bama. Bama's going to get the win, but it's not going to be a blowout. It's not. This is going to be a football game for four quarters. But what happened with the selection committee earlier this week, where they put Bama 2 and Georgia at 1, which is still ludicrous, but it at least makes Bama motivated. They're going to prove the point that if you're going to play four quarters of football, get ready for a bloodbath. That's what's going to happen on Saturday. Bama's going to win a close one by 7. I like Bama to stay undefeated and move on.
It's going to be a great game, but I got to take Bama. I don't trust Coach Orgeron. I don't trust his decision making. I don't. They haven't had a quarterback there since the kid from Tyler, Texas. I'm trying to think of his name. Lit up.
What are you talking? Zettenberger? Who are you talking about?
No, the kid that lit it up for Green Bay when Rodgers got hurt. What is his name?
Oh man, you're doing this on your own show.
Oh, I know I am.
Crazy.
I know I am. But anyway, he's a John Tyler High School, Tyler, Texas graduate, because I met him during his recruiting process. But they haven't had a quarterback since then, because you can't say Jamarcus Russell because he's horrible. But Alabama, I'm not real convinced with their quarterback play. Got some great running backs, and I include Jalen Hurts is in that, because he can't throw the ball, but he can run the ball. But Alabama will win this, especially with it being in Tuscaloosa. Had this been in Baton Rouge, I might be tempted to take LSU, but I'm not. Take Alabama. No matter points or not, it's not, like you said, not going to be a blowout, because these never are. But take Alabama, and this will maybe give them a little bit of juice to get back up to number one and make all their Roll Tide Roll fans happy. Now,
oh, it's Matt Flynn. That's who you're thinking of.
Yes, it is. Thank you for that.
Yeah, that's right.
Thank you for correcting me on my own show. I do appreciate that. Now, we got in your kind of backyard, it's not too far down the coast from you, Virginia Tech going into Hard Rock Stadium to take on the undefeated number 10. I like saying that too, undefeated number 10, Miami Hurricanes. Mark Richt and Fuente have made this a rivalry once again, going back to the days of like Erickson and Beamer and Beamer and everybody, because Beamer was there forever. So, do the Hurricanes stay unscathed, or do the Hokies have enough in Hard Rock Stadium?
This is going to be the key for the U. They got to put up points in this football game. They've been squeaking by the last couple weeks with some teams that can't hang with them. But if you're going to take on Vautech, and you're absolutely right, Justin Fuentes has done a fantastic job there getting them back on track from Beamer ball. Virginia Tech has been in the national spotlight the last couple weeks of the season where they're playing big-time football games. This is going to be another one. I think Miami's going to get the W, but they're going to have to put up points. Can't stress this enough. Michael Rozier and that offense have got to score and get it early. I like Miami at home. This is a huge game for them. They're going to win this, and then they're going to move on to Notre Dame. Give me the U on primetime, my friend.
Well, I talked to one of our Cumulus brethren earlier in the show. That'd be Danny Noakes from Super Sports 101.7 in Blacksburg, Virginia. He broke down this game for us, and he convinced me. I'm going with the Hokies. I think the Hokies are going to upset the ACC. It's going to be Virginia Tech and Clemson in the ACC championship. Because, but trust me, listen to me here, Miami will bounce back next week and beat Notre Dame and set everything into chaos, but Virginia Tech will win this game against the Canes. How do you like that?
I don't. I'm still taking Miami. You're going down, Tim. That's exactly what I want to tell you.
Okay, I'm going down. We will keep track of this, and we will see who does the better of our picks this week. Mark Moses from 1560 The Fan in Melbourne, Florida. Thank you once again for joining us here on the University of Fish.
Anytime, man. Enjoy the weekend.
I will enjoy the weekend, and I want you to enjoy the weekend. You, the listener, you can stick right here on Extra Sports 1300, because coming up this afternoon is Bedlam. Key matchup in the Big 12. You've heard us talk about it all morning long, so make sure you stay tuned for that. I'm the professor. This is the University of Fish. Class dismissed.